Thanks for being here, everyone. We're about to start the conference call with Levin from Center for Environmental Health, Senator Mark Leno, Dr. Sarah Jansen, Dr. Urvashi Rangan, and Lou Paulson. Stand by. And
okay. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I was talking and I was muted. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. My name is Judy Levin, and I'm the Pollution Prevention Co-Director for the Center for Environmental Health, and I will be facilitating this call. I'm also the co-coordinator of Californians for Toxic-Free Fire Safety, and I share this role with Dr. Veena Singla of the Natural Resources Defense Council, who unfortunately cannot be on the call today. For those of you who are not familiar, Californians for Toxic-Free Fire Safety is a coalition of scientists, physicians, health and consumer organizations, and others working to promote fire safety without the use of toxic or untested chemicals. Please be advised that we have placed all phones on mute. We have a wonderful lineup of speakers who will be presenting for several minutes each, and at the end of the speakers, we will have a question and answer period. You may unmute your phone by pressing star 6, and I will moderate questions from those of you who are joining us. So before we get started, I would like for those people who have not introduced themselves to please do so, and again to unmute if you could just press star 6 and we can find out who's on the line. So if you've not introduced yourself, please do so.
Addison DeSessa, Rational 360.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, then we'll proceed. This news conference is to announce an important new bill from Senator Mark Leno that will enable consumers to have the information they need to make informed choices about whether or not the furniture they wish to purchase contains flame-retardant chemicals. As you may know, in January of this year, California finally updated its outdated furniture flammability standard after 38 years. The past standard failed to improve fire safety and instead led to the widespread use of flame-retardant chemicals in our furniture, not just in California, but nationally. As of January 1, 2014, furniture manufacturers may now begin to produce furniture without the use of flame-retardant chemicals. The new flammability standard, however, does not dictate how a manufacturer meets the standard, and flame retardants may still be used in new products. So we now have a great panel of speakers who will share their knowledge and perspectives on the issue of flame retardants and the proposed legislation. In a few minutes, Senator Leno will fill you in on the details. But first, especially for any of you who are new to the topic of toxic flame retardant chemicals and products, we will devote a few minutes with experts from different disciplines to explain why it is crucial for protecting our public health to have this legislation. We will begin with Dr. Sarah Jansen, a renowned health researcher at UCSF, board member of Physicians for Social Responsibility San Francisco, and an expert on health impacts from toxic flame retardant chemicals. Next, we will hear from Mr. Lou Paulson, president of the California Professional Firefighters, who will explain why the firefighter community strongly supports this legislation. Next, we will hear from Dr. Urvashi Rangan, director of Consumer Safety and Sustainability with Consumers Union, and she'll explain why it's important to have laws for consumer protection and the right to make informed choices. And last, but certainly not least, we will hear from the author, Senator Mark Leno, who will explain the intent of the bill. So now we'll begin with our panel. Please welcome Dr. Sarah Jansen. Dr. Jansen, can you briefly tell us about the emerging science demonstrating links to health impacts from toxic flame retardant chemicals and why disclosure can be protective of public health?
Good morning. Thanks, Judy. Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Sarah Jansen. I'm a physician boarded in occupational and environmental medicine, and I'm going to provide some perspective on the public health benefits of this newly introduced legislation. And I think to do that, I need to give you a little bit of background about the health effects of exposures to flame retardant chemicals. As a physician and a scientist, and most importantly, a mom of a young child, I'm really concerned that exposures to flame retardants are harming our health. We know that the widespread and heavy use of flame retardant chemicals, especially in upholstered furniture, has resulted in these chemicals polluting our homes, our bodies, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of peer-reviewed studies in the literature pointing to the undisputable fact that U.S. house dust and California house dust in particular is highly contaminated with flame retardant chemicals. They're found in the house dust because they leach from the products, such as furniture, into the house dust, which we either then inhale or ingest. In fact, California homes, wildlife living in California, and people living in California, especially young children, contain some of the highest levels of flame retardant chemicals measured anywhere in the world. These exposures are significant, and they've already been shown to be harmful to our health. Many of the studies have focused on one particular group of flame retardants called PBDEs, polybrominated diphenyl ethers. These chemicals have been shown to interfere with our body's hormone system. In particular, they disrupt thyroid hormone, which is really important for development of the brain. And it isn't surprising that exposure to PBDEs has been shown to cause damage to the developing brain. Children in the womb who were exposed to PBDEs have lower IQ points and attention and learning problems. Other recent studies have linked PBDEs to autism. It's also been found to cause reproductive harm, so pregnant women who carry higher levels of PBDEs in their body take longer to get pregnant and have smaller babies. And other studies have shown harm in men of reproductive age with links to male infertility, male birth defects, and even early puberty in girls. These are all health problems that are quite prevalent in our society. And though the PBDEs have been phased out of use, exposures continue because many of us hold on to our furniture for decades. And as one bad chemical has been phased out, another one has shown up to replace it. So when the PBDEs were taken out of furniture, it was replaced with a chemical called chlorinated tris. That was a chemical that was removed from kids' pajamas in the 1970s because it caused an unacceptably high number of cancerous tumors. So while it was banned from kids' pajamas, it was not banned from use in furniture, and it's been one of the major replacement chemicals for PBDEs. I had my own couch tested, and it had a lot of chlorinated tris in it. Now, chlorinated tris has been phased out to replace by yet another untested and unproven chemical, many of which we don't even know the names of. And this is because of the lax federal laws which allow chemicals to be considered safe until proven otherwise. And we've been stuck in this never-ending cycle of toxic chemical roulette. After one bad chemical is phased out, another so-called safer chemical replaces it. Only after a lot of time and research dollars have been spent, we find out that it's also bad. And the question that hasn't been asked is, before these chemicals are introduced into the marketplace, is it even necessary? And in the case of flame retardant chemicals in our furniture, the answer is no. Flame retardant chemicals have not been shown to provide any fire safety benefit in furniture, but they've been linked to many health concerns. And while it's really great that the standard TP117 has been reformed, it's eliminated the need for the use of these chemicals, but it hasn't banned the use of them in our furniture. And the next reasonable step to protect our health is to disclose to the public, you and I, the consumers, whether or not our furniture that we're bringing into our homes for the next 10 to 30 years contains these flame retardant chemicals. I think armed with information, consumers are going to be able to make a choice, and ultimately this is going to protect future generations so that we're no longer the most polluted population in the world. And I want to say thanks for your attention, and I am going to have to jump off the call early because I'm in clinic today and I have patients. If you want to follow up with questions for me, I can be reached on my cell phone. And if you leave me a message, I'll call you back. And that number is 415-722-0120. Or you can send me an email at sarah@ucsf.edu.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jansen, for making yourself available.
Sure. I'll stay on for like 5 more minutes, and then I have to jump off.
Perfect. Thanks. Please welcome Mr. Lou Paulson, President of California Professional Firefighters. Mr. Paulson, can you please tell us why many in your profession believe that toxic flame retardant chemicals are a hazard to firefighters and ineffective in fighting fires?
Thank you and good morning. First of all, I'd just like to say we are honored to be with this coalition, and we want to thank Senator Leno for authoring this bill, and we're, like many times, very proud to sponsor this bill and stand by Senator Leno on these causes. Occupational illness and disease is in the forefront of firefighters. We, unfortunately, and our annual Firefighters Memorial every year put many names on that wall from folks who died from occupational cancer. For myself alone, since November, I have two personal friends that have died from occupational cancer. One is in hospice right now, and one has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So for firefighting community, it's well known that occupational cancer and exposure to chemicals is part of the job. But we believe, and we have clearly in the fire service changed our view about chemical flame retardants. We know they're toxic. And so when we enter a structure fire, we're not only dealing with the products of combustion, the heat, the flames, but also the toxic chemicals that are released from these compounds. This is really problematic for us when we get into the phase of overhaul, when the fire is out. The initial fire is out and it's smoldering. And during those periods of time, we're doing strenuous work where our pores are open in our skin. Many times we don't have respiratory protection. The routes for exposure are very deep into our bodies, and it becomes very clear that we become exposed. And so because of that, the cumulative effects of these exposures create problems for us and ultimately lead to, to occupational cancer. We believe that these toxins or these chemical flame retardants, while they propose to say that they're going to provide some protection to the community, to the firefighters, really, they're really a chemical roulette and cause more damage than what it's worth. We believe it's a threat to the health and safety of firefighters, but more importantly, it's a threat to the people we serve. The amount of additional protection provided by these retardants is limited. As I've said before, fires now are burning hotter than they used to be. Building construction, all those other factors make it a more difficult fire environment, and now we've got to fight these toxic exposures also. For firefighters, it's very clear for us that chemical flame retardants don't help the process. And we believe it's essential for consumers to understand what they have on their furniture and their products. It's amazing to us that while we call for transparency in government all the time, that the citizens want to know what government is doing, and there's a big discussion about clear food labeling, when it comes to this issue, it becomes very, very difficult to get folks to just come forward and say what's in the upholstery and the furniture that they're sitting on. And that's why we're supporting this bill. Not only does it deal with the exposures that firefighters have, but also let the public understand clearly what they're purchasing, what they're sitting on, what they're sleeping on. So that's why we're involved. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Paulson. Next, please welcome Dr. Urvashi Rangan. She's the Director of Consumer Safety and Sustainability with Consumers Union. Dr. Rangan, can you please tell us why giving consumers information about products they buy is so important for them to make informed decisions, including choosing products that are not made with flame-retardant chemicals based on health and safety concerns they may have? If you press star 6, you can unmute yourself.
Hi, thanks. It's Urvashi. And thank you, Judy. I appreciate that. And we also at Consumers Union, we're the advocacy arm of Consumer Reports, are really pleased to be on this call. This bill is very much in our wheelhouse of what we have long supported since we've been around since 1936. We've long pushed for consumers to have clear and transparent and meaningful labeling. We think that improves marketplace choice, and it informs purchasing decisions that consumers make. Consumers want to know how their products are made, more and more so, and especially if there's important information that can influence their purchasing decisions. And we feel like information about how flame retardancy is achieved is definitely a piece of information that could definitely influence a consumer's choice. Now that California has paved the way for meeting the flammability standard without the use of potentially risky chemicals, we, along with many other groups that you've heard from and even more, believe that information for how flame retardancy is achieved is the only way to provide consumers with that proper information. This kind of information is really the basis for creating honesty and informed demand in the marketplace. And just like food ingredient labeling or nutrition and calorie labeling, that information is important for consumers so they can know how their products are produced and, again, can make the most informed purchasing decisions for themselves and their families. That transparency is really the basis for informed consumer demand and a strong marketplace. And we've long supported the increase in transparency in the marketplace, really in all consumer product sectors, from food to furniture, cleaning products to cosmetics, especially where less toxic options exist, because consumers should be informed of those options, again, so they can make the best decisions for themselves and their families. Without mandatory labeling, we feel like the very distinctive differences in the flame retardancy processes can't be adequately or reliably distinguished by retailers or consumers. And tracking exposure and health effects is also very difficult when you don't have mandatory labeling. This all leads to a murkiness in the marketplace, which masks better choices that become available. And this is a great case in point of that. And that's precisely why we support Senator Leno's bill as well for mandatory labeling of whether products contain chemical flame retardants or not, and why that bill is so important. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rangan. And last, but certainly not least, we welcome a state leader who has been persistently working to protect the public from harmful flame retardant chemicals. Senator Mark Leno, who represents San Francisco, has been tirelessly devoted to halting flame retardant contamination and was recently featured in the HBO documentary Toxic Hot Seat. Senator Leno, can you please tell us about this new bill? You may need to press star 6 to unmute yourself.
How's that?
We can now hear you. Thank you.
Wonderful. So thank you, Judy, and thank you for bringing all our coalition partners together today. And let me thank in particular the sponsors of our bill, California Professional Firefighters, the Center for Environmental Health and Natural Resources Defense Council, along with the great support from Consumers Union. So I will not repeat all of the introductory comments made as to why these chemicals aren't needed, why they are so very dangerous to health and environment, as well as why consumers need choices. I'll get right to what SB 1019 will do. So current law requires that manufacturers include a product label that informs consumers whether the furniture meets flammability standards. So that would have been TB 117 up until now. Now we have TB 117 2013. So our bill would require manufacturers to include additional information on such a label indicating whether flame retardant chemicals were added to the product or not. So specifically, manufacturers with this bill as law would be required to maintain documentation to show either which flame retardant chemicals or trade mixtures were added to the furniture or that no flame retardant chemicals were added to the furniture at all. With regard to retailers, they would display the information from the manufacturer about flame retardant use or absence near the product price or description. And the bill also states that this information should be clear and conspicuous for consumers. And it also gives retailers the flexibility to be able to display the information in a manner that works for them. We certainly don't want this to be any sort of a burden for retailers. It should just be giving consumers their rightful choice. So Dr. Jensen had made mention that the reasonable next step to rid our homes and environment of these toxins would be to allow consumers to make more informed choices. And I think we can all understand that we are currently reaching a tipping point, a critical mass of information and attention around this issue of toxic flame retardants. Many of us have been working on this for 8-10 years or more, and we've never had the kind of media attention and scrutiny to this issue. The Chicago Tribune investigative report of last summer certainly changed the landscape going forward forever. And I think we all owe a debt of gratitude to Governor Jerry Brown for recognizing that the TB 117 he put in place as governor back in 1975 needed a 21st century update. And so he took it the next step so that we could have the option. Now, the power of the lobby of the chemical industry is such that we still don't have the kind of regulations that we need in Washington. We know there are tens of thousands of potentially dangerous chemicals in our environment that have never even been tested. We don't use a precautionary principle that manufacturers need to prove something safe before it can go to market, rather than have consumers have to prove that it's dangerous to get it off the market, but that's where we are. So to minimally allow manufacturers to meet a fire safety standard without the need of chemicals, and then to communicate whether or not a consumer product has these chemicals to the consumer is a great step forward for all of us. It not only will allow those families, those consumers that don't want these chemicals in their home to know that the products they're purchasing don't have them, but if someone was of the opinion that they'd rather purchase the product with the chemicals because they believe that there's additional safety to it, that they're not concerned about the purported health issues, that's their consumer right as well, and they would be able to make that informed choice also. So it really benefits everyone. With the specifics of the language of the labels, we've worked really hard to make sure that we stated only facts, no opinion, nothing controversial or even debatable. They're just facts. And we've done this specifically because I want to make a vote for SB 1019 as easy as possible for my colleagues. We don't know if the industry will fight us yet again on this labeling, free market, consumer-informed choice bill. But if they do, I want it to be non-debatable and, again, something that my colleagues should find reasonable and find no reason not to support it. I'm happy to take any questions if you have.
Thank you so much, Senator Leno. So we will now open it up for questions. Again, you can press star 6 to unmute your line. And when you do ask a question, can you please tell us your name and the media outlet that you are with? So you can begin by pressing star 6 to unmute your line. We have no questions, or are people having trouble?
No, I'm sorry. I have a question. I wasn't sure if you were picking people or not. This is Barbara Taylor
please.
With KCBS Radio in San Francisco. Hi, Senator Leno.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I was just a little confused in the beginning. Unfortunately, I missed the very first 5 minutes or so of the teleconference. Could you explain in a little simpler terms the difference between current reporting laws and how yours would change that? And the posting, would it have to post specific toxic chemicals that are in the flame retardants, or just say there are some?
So there are two steps here, Barbara. First has to do with a label that will be on the product itself. And current law, in fact, if you look on the sofa you're sitting on, there'll be a label or two already attached to it. And one of them will say that this product conforms and complies with the fire safety standards of TB 117, and you can presume that there are toxic flame retardants in it because that's what was used to meet that standard at the time that your sofa or chair was manufactured. Going forward, with this bill signed into law, it will have a label that will state, and I'm reading from it right now, notice this article meets the flammability requirements of California Bureau of Electronic and Appliance Repair, Home Furnishings and Thermal Insulation, Technical Bulletin 117-2013. Care should be exercised near open flame or with burning cigarettes. The label attached to the furniture will continue to read, this product meets California's furniture fire safety standard and the upholstery materials, and then there will be a check in front of one of two lines. The first line contains added flame retardant chemicals, or the second line contains no added flame retardant chemicals. And the last statement is, the state of California's Bureau of Home Furnishings found that flame retardant chemicals in furniture do not provide a meaningful fire safety benefit. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, such flame retardant chemicals can migrate into air and dust where people can be exposed to them. So that will be the new label on your sofa as opposed to the one on it now. But what will be new is that at the point of purchase, there will also be a little notice. And again, we'll give flexibility to the retailers to how they wish to post it, but it needs to be readable and concise. And it will read, this product meets California's furniture fire safety standard and the upholstery materials either, again, contain added flame retardant chemicals or contain no added flame retardant chemicals, again, the last two lines that I just read on the label that will be attached to the furniture itself.
Thank you. If I could just ask a quick follow-up question.
Yes.
Does the law currently allow the sale of furniture that has no flame retardants in it? And is that an option available for people? Are there lots of things out there to pick from if you want to buy stuff without flame retardants that have these toxic chemicals?
Senator Leonard, do you want to address that? Or
I certainly can. If anyone else wants to further my answer,
please go
feel
ahead.
Free to do so. Barbara, so currently the only feasible way to meet the former standard, the original TB 117, which was to withstand the open small flame for up to 12 seconds. That's the polyurethane foam, urethane foam in your sofa. The only way to meet that standard was to include the chemicals. Now, there may be some very high-end furniture, most of it not made in the United States, that could meet our old TB 117 without those chemicals, but they're not accessible in just about any retail outlet. And if it were available, you wouldn't be able to know the difference because there's no labeling that would tell you such.
I think Barbara's question was, is it possible, though, now, today, in March of 2014, to purchase furniture without flame retardants? And to that, the answer would be yes. And this is Judy Levin from the Center for Environmental Health, because the new standard, as Senator Leno mentioned, TB 117-2013, does have a different test that would allow manufacturers to meet it without the use of flame retardants. And I know that there are furniture manufacturers, including one on the line from Scandinavian Design, who are already making these products, furniture without the use of flame retardant chemicals. And there are other companies as well. Room and Board has one line that has no flame retardant chemicals, as well as Endicott Home. And then again, as Senator Leno mentioned, also the companies that have been making organic couches for many years. But we expect that there will be many more companies coming online with flame retardant-free products in the next several months.
Thank you.
Other questions from the media?
Yeah, this is Lizzie Grossman, writing for the Pump Handle. Senator Leno, could you explain if there is any detail required as to which flame retardants are in a product, or it just will say has added flame retardants? And the other question I wondered about is if this law would apply to products like children's car seats. Thanks.
Sure. So I've described what will be required on the labels, but then additionally, for purposes of enforcement by the California Bureau of Electronic and Appliance Repair, Home Furnishing, and Thermal Insulation, manufacturers would be required to maintain documentation to show which flame retardant chemicals or trade mixtures were added to the furniture, if indeed any were added. So that would be the backup. They'd have to keep those on file. So in case they were visited by the Bureau, they would have to show which chemicals were used.
Great. Thanks.
And as far as car seats,
go
ahead and address that if you'd like.
So I'm not expert in this. There are some products which are specifically regulated by the federal government, for example,
right,
mattresses. So our legislation does not change any of that, nor did the update to TB 117, now -2013, change any of that.
That's correct.
Not a good thing. If
other questions? If you'd like to ask a question, you just need to press *6 to unmute yourself. Hearing no further
Hello?
Questions.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Hi, I just unmuted myself, but I'm not sure if you heard me.
We did not, but please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, this is Ann Mulkern with Environment and Energy Publishing. I'm just unclear on the last answer what that means. Does that mean that something like a mattress would not be covered under this because of the federal regulation? I'm just unclear on the interplay of the federal regulation in this.
So mattresses will not be impacted by the new technical bulletin because those mattresses are still regulated by the federal government, and so our labeling requirement to inform consumers relative to the change in TB 117 will not be applied to those consumer products which are regulated by the federal government.
Okay. Are there any other significant ones besides mattresses?
Judy, can you help me with any of this?
I think car seats would be another one. There is a separate standard through the National Transportation, I think, Safety Administration. So that would be another one that would have a separate standard. Those are the two that come to mind.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, this is Samantha. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
This is Samantha from the Daily Journal. So could you just give us a general sense then of what products would be labeled under this? Would it just be couches, pillows? Is there anything else that comes to mind or that would be affected by this?
So
furniture.
Anything with, yes, furniture, anything with polyurethane foam. And then there are a number of juvenile products which I earlier tried to exempt from TB 117 because the National Consumer Product Safety Commission deemed these specific consumer products to be non-flammable. And if you can believe it or not, the legislature would not even exempt non-flammable juvenile products from the requirements of TB 117. So I would imagine there's still required to comply, even though they are non-flammable, and they would include cribs, strollers, nursing pillows, and there's another one or two in that group. But they all will still have to comply with TB 117, 2013, and they will then have these labels.
Actually, I wanted just to make clear, because this was something that was discussed, that actually we were able, and thank you, Senator, for your work in getting strollers and infant carriers, you know, trying to get them removed. But the new TB 117-2013 actually does exempt. They identify about 15 baby products in addition to some that in 2011, I believe the end of 2011, were exempted. So these products actually will not be labeled as meeting TB 117-2013 because they're exempt.
One more reason to thank Governor Brown.
Absolutely.
Brief little funny story. So I was in his office late last summer negotiating the final details of the budget as chair of the budget committee with the Senator Pro Tem of the Senate, and it was the first time I had a chance to thank the governor for putting out his announcement of his direction to his bureau to update TB 117, telling him that I'd been trying for years legislatively to do what he was now doing through change in regulation, and that I've been battling these manufacturers of toxic chemicals for so many years. And his response to me was, see, you want to get stuff done? Come down here.
Right. Great.
Judy, this is Bob Ludica. Could I clarify something, please?
Please.
This is Bob Ludica with the Polyurethane Foam Association, and Senator Leno, thank you for your active work and support of these issues over the years, that we've really appreciated it. But I would like to clarify that adult-sized mattresses fall under a federal flammability requirement, which is CFR 1633. This is a very aggressive open flame standard, and it is of such a severe nature that flame retardants are not useful in that performance, and so typically barrier materials are used which do not include loose flame retardants. And so I'd like to clarify, flame retardants are not typically added to mattresses anywhere in the country.
That is good to know, and thank you for all of your support.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? To unmute yourself, just press star 6. I would like to sort of just say, first of all, that this is not a referendum on whether California's furniture flammability standard should be California's regulation. That decision has been made, and TB117-2013 is our regulation. This is really simply a discussion about whether consumers deserve to have the critical information shared with them so they can make an informed decision. And I know that as purchasing a couch, I spent many times thinking about what color I wanted it to be, what shape I wanted it to be, whether I wanted legs on it or no legs on it, and I didn't realize that the biggest issue I had to make as a consumer was actually whether I wanted flame-retardant chemicals in my couch or not. I didn't have that information. And with Senator Leno's bill, now I can go in and make a fully informed decision. And the last comment is just to say that, as you know, we have a failed chemical policy system, and we know that federal legislation is being looked at right now in Congress that could help to protect customers. If we can reform the Toxic Substances Control Act, we wouldn't have to worry about these types of things. So that's something I know we're all following very carefully. So before I close, any last questions?
Judy, this is Bob Schoenfeld.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I have one question. The definition of added fire retardant chemicals means flame retardant chemicals that are present in any covered product or component at levels above 500 parts per million. My question is, how did we determine that? Why 500 parts per million? Why not 100 parts per million?
I can answer that unless anybody else would like to. Okay, so this is Judy. That was determined as a level that was considered sort of a trace, a contamination level, that it would have no purpose in a product at that level. 500 parts per million would offer no flame retardancy. So it was really a way to allow manufacturers to not have to be concerned that saying they had no flame retardant chemicals in their product, because during storage, if there was contamination, there might be low levels. The 500 parts per million was a number that the industry felt they could live with and that was still doable and would, you know, provide a little backup in case there was some background contamination. But I think you raise a point that we could certainly consider that, and it's great to hear a manufacturer actually speak to lowering the threshold. So thank you very much, Bob, for that.
We did do some testing already, and three factories in China that we work with, the testing came out at 60 parts per million, 10 parts per million, and 23 parts per million. So I think it's a doable, acceptable standard to be 100 or 200. We've been so many years wanting to get all the chemicals out, every bit of it. And I know that when the foam leaves the mills that make the foam, they could be pure without the chemicals. But handling from the manufacturers and fabricators touching it, molding it, putting it through their machinery is where apparently contamination occurs. But I'm thinking that 500 parts per million is too liberal. It should be lower. That's just my opinion.
That's very helpful, and we really appreciate hearing that.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Press star 6 to unmute.
Yes, hello. This is Samantha again. I have a question for Senator Leno.
Yes.
I'm wondering, how do you hope this bill will help phase out some of these chemicals? You know, if you can't do it by certain policies, then sort of informing consumers and maybe having people start to purchase things that don't have them. So in your words, how do you hope this bill will actually affect them becoming more and more phased out over time?
It's certainly just my opinion, but I don't think I'm alone in holding it, that the more the consumers know about these chemicals, which certainly have great risk to the health of their families, that if they have an option and that option is no more expensive, then I believe people are going to err on what I think is the side of caution and purchase a product which is entirely fire safe, and that's not my opinion, but the opinion of the state of California, equally safe to another product which will be labeled with the chemicals, and that over time the market will drive us to a day not far from now when manufacturers will find it and retailers will find it not in their economic interest to manufacture or sell products with these dangerous chemicals.
Thank you so much, everyone. And with that, we will close. I would like again to thank our speakers, Dr. Sarah Jansen with UCSF and Physicians for Social Responsibility, Mr. Lou Paulson from the California Professional Firefighters, Dr. Urvashi Rangan from Consumers Union, and thank you especially to our author, California State Senator Mark Leno. For more information, you can visit the website, www.senate.ca.gov/Leno, and www.toxicfreefiresafety.org. That's our coming clean website, and that will provide more information on flame-retardant chemicals and fire safety without the use of toxic chemicals. Thanks to all of you for being on. We really appreciate it, and please feel free to contact us with any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.